Tip Radio episode 13 starts now. Hello and welcome to Hacker Public Radio. I'm Monster B, and joining me at the round table tonight is Peter 64.
G'day.
J-Man.
Hello.
Azmuth.
Good evening.
Peg Wall.
Hey, I'm glad you didn't call me Peggy this time.
And Art V61.
Hello, hello, everybody.
I didn't get any feedback. Did anybody else?
No.
Nothing? All right.
They hate me.
But I do have an update from, I think we talked about this on episode 11, The World of Goo. Do you remember that pay what you want birthday sale that they had?
Yeah, and then it was extended, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Another week or so.
They extended it for 7 more days, I guess like a total of 13 days, and they sold over 83,000 copies.
And we were looking at the stats one night, weren't we? And there was a lot purchased for just 1 cent.
Yeah, like something like 16, 17,000 copies.
Yeah, now actually did a little bit of research on that, and you know what a lot of that was? It was people who had already bought a copy of it for one platform, but they wanted to buy a copy for another platform, so I was told. So there isn't that many cheap bastards out there.
But just that first weekend, the first 6 days, they made $100,000. So that's pretty darn good.
But what it appeared to do was drum up. How long's it been released for? 12 months now, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, it just drummed up a hell of a lot more publicity, where it had sort of waned over 12 months. Probably no one had heard about it. So, yeah, it was a really good idea.
They should have set the minimum for like a dollar, though.
Yeah, I honestly, when we were reading those stats, I thought, yeah, that's a bit piss weak buying it for, you know, 1 cent. Because I think they're going to pay, even for a dollar, they don't make a hell of a lot of money, do they? Because PayPal takes their percentage or something.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I think it's $1.30.
Yeah, there's a minimum or something. Yep. So even a dollar, PayPal obviously did all right out of it. But no, I think, but at first I thought, yeah, it was this week that people were only paying a cent and even a dollar. But then when someone explained, or I can't remember where I found out, I read it somewhere, that, you know, people already had it and they just wanted to get the other one for the other platform. I thought, well, that's pretty fair. If they've already bought it for what was the original purchase price? It was more than $20, wasn't it?
I think it was $20.
Yeah, so you can't begrudge people for buying it for a cent and if they already paid $20 for it, eh? For a game that's, 12 months old.
Did they do any updates to it in the 12 months or no?
I have no idea.
I don't think so. Yeah, wouldn't know.
Well, has anybody been playing it?
I played the demo when it first came out, and my little girl enjoyed it too. But I can't remember what we did to buy it.
Yeah, I bought it, but never played it yet.
Well, you had said you were going to buy it just to donate to them, right? That was your...
Yeah, but I bought it for my daughter. I figured she would play it, but I never got around to putting it on her laptop yet.
Nice dad.
Bad daddy.
Well, she's busy with that robot baby that she has now.
Oh, no.
She's got a baby she had to bring home from school.
Yep.
She's got to take care of it all weekend. But anyways,
you know, while she's asleep, if you go in there and shake it,
and then what?
There'll just be some messed up readings when that thing gets returned.
You know, you keep that in the freezer, you can't hear it cry.
let's move on to the topics. What do you got for us, Peter 64?
Not much this week. The only thing I did have a look at, what this is. I don't even know how to pronounce it. Synth Gunt. It's SINTHGUNT. Okay, no S in there anywhere, except for at the start, obviously. And what it is, it's just front end to FFmpeg, just for converting movies from one format to the other. Now, fair dinkum, anyone who says Linux is hard hasn't used Linux in the last 12 months, because I used to get a lot of pleasure out of actually doing a command on converting videos on the command line when it actually worked. and this does it automatically. It's got more than 100 pre-configured conversion settings in it. And the other thing about it too, which I was happy to read, is that anyone who's ever compiled FFmpeg to do a specific task, like, I don't know, maybe if you want 3GP support for mobile phones, you know, a lot of mobile phones use 3GP, or you compile it with the non-free codecs in, when you actually run configure, you've got to pass a hell of a lot of options to make it sort of specific to what you want, you know, tailor it for your own needs. With this synth gun, it actually automatically detects how you've compiled it, and therefore, I take it will only give you those options when you go to convert. It won't show you options that it can't convert, if you know what I mean. Now, when you do convert, what is it going to give you? Like I said, heaps of presets. You can go to typically Avi. Everyone knows what that is. You can convert movies to BlackBerry for a BlackBerry Creative Zen. It's got the Microsoft bloody formats there for the Zune and the Windows Media Video and LG Chocolate, just hundreds of them, really. So anyone who wants to convert movies doesn't want to learn how to do it on the command line. Well, you could do a lot worse than this little program. It's written in Python. It's licensed under the GPL version 3, and it's completely open source, so you can't do better than that. You can also convert movies to Android-compatible video, so that's going to make a lot of people really happy.
Yeah,
we
like
know we love our Android.
Yeah, he might like you for bringing this up, Peter.
No comment. I think Zeus has got packages for it. I think all the Fedora, I think I saw the packages for Fedora, Zeus. I got it out of the AUR repos for Arch, but I compiled it on the laptop from source, but it's very easy. Like I said, it's based on Python and just installed really simple.
Nice. They show here on the screenshots where they're pulling a YouTube video off it, or they're downloading a YouTube video. Pretty neat.
Yeah, it is. It really is a handy little thing. Honestly, I don't know that I'll go visit the command line quite as often as I do now with this thing. It's just made it too easy.
Is it actually showing the video?
Yeah, as you go through, I think it just gave a screenshot, if I recollect correctly. You get a screenshot of what's happening. I can't remember if it showed the actual video as it's converting it. I don't think it did.
Well, it doesn't necessarily convert it real time. So
no, that's right.
You wouldn't want to watch it anyway.
Yeah, I think it just shows you a screenshot.
That's quite nice.
Oh, it is. I can't count how many times people have come into Linux Cranks and just asked how they can convert movies from one format to the other. And I typically have, I've mentioned this before, I sort of have a basic recipe of commands that I have to go and just change a little bit to get what they want.
That's
now
command.
I'll be pointing them to this program and saying, just have a look, see if this can do what you want. If not, come back and we'll have a play with it.
That's the commands in your JMAN file, right?
Well, actually, these ones aren't, but it's very similar. This is one that I've had for quite a while. Yeah. You get your little commands that you like to keep.
I sure don't like the name.
No, I tried to find out where Synth Gun came from. It sounds rude.
Yes, it does.
Sounds perverted.
In actual fact, I might even email these people just to ask them, because I did try to find out where the name came from, but I couldn't see it.
I mean, they should have named it like Filthy Grunt.
Yeah. And it's got two prancing horses, like the Ferrari symbol. I don't know what that's got to do with anything either. But they did a good program anyway. I think it's part of that Google Summer of Code, too.
Is it?
The website is code.google.com/p/SynthGun. I'll just put that in there. If we want to go and grab it.
And that's some kind of German mythology, that name. Something about, I don't know, it's got too many big words for me.
Yeah, and did you just wink it? I did the same thing. And then I thought, I wonder if that's got something to do with the name, or if that was just a coincidence, I don't know.
But very nice find, Peter.
Very
well,
nice.
Thank you there, Monster B, considering you found it weeks ago.
Jesus.
You can cut that. I'll leave it in.
No, say, re-say it. Okay, hold on. Well, very nice find, Peter.
Well, thanks. Monster Bacon. You found it.
You know what? These bloopers are going to be longer than the show.
Oh, man.
Well, let's move on to J-Man.
What was that?
Super Arch cow.
Mating call.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up the Go programming language. This just recently became open source. It's been in the works since sometime in 2007. And the designers were, among other people, the very famous hackers Rob Pike and Ken Thompson. This is an object-oriented language. It's garbage collected, which means you don't have to worry about memory management. They try to keep everything safe, type safe, so you can't screw things up too badly. They have pointers, but there's no pointer arithmetic and all that good stuff. But you can read about the specifications and stuff. They have tutorials on golang.org. And this is distributed under the BSD license.
Now, what's your opinion on why they're doing this?
Well, the whole point is that there haven't been any modern system languages developed. Like, we have all these multi-core things, and, you know, there aren't any languages that really take advantage of it.
You know, the best thing about this, J-Man, doesn't run on Windows. It looks like they're not going to port it over quite some time if they ever do.
It looks very similar to Python.
It's a... It's like it's more like C. Like they wanted to make it, you know, the syntax very specific. It's not dynamically typed. And one of the main objectives is fast compile time. They have their all the stuff to build the language is like 120,000 lines of code, and it builds in something like 8 seconds on a single core processor.
When did you say they started this? A year ago.
This was the design was done back in 2007, and it's been, you know, closed up until now, and they really saw the code to it.
I don't know these guys.
You know, they point out, you know, it's all about the fun, because if you can develop fast and compile fast, you know, you're having fun developing again. You don't have to worry about memory and all that.
Okay, Lindsay, you mentioned prior about the garbage collection or whatever. What exactly does that mean?
In languages that don't have garbage collection, you have to worry about, are these variables that I was once using, they're still in memory, which means they're still taking up the user's resources. But the garbage collection will actually take things out of memory that aren't needed anymore.
All right,
without the programmer having to worry about it.
Okay.
Yeah, they were talking about using this on older equipment too, right? Wasn't that one of the ideas of this, too?
Yeah, apparently it doesn't matter how fast your system is. This can pretty much compile the same. Like, they're looking for compile times, like you hit enter and it's actually done.
Okay, if you create a program with this and you email it to me, what would I need to run it? Will I need any special libraries?
Yeah.
Limited, though, isn't it? Very limited?
Yeah, you're not going to need everything. It's like, it's a compiled language, so you don't need the interpreter at all. If you had the libraries that the executable calls, then you're okay.
There's a lot of guys talking about this, and each one has a different take on it. And I guess, you know, like you said, it's something new, something different.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where it goes. You know, Python took off pretty well.
Yeah, and this can be used on everything, right? Isn't that the thing with this?
Yeah, and they've got pretty much everything that you would need for system language in there now. But, like they say, they're going to continue working on it and making it a lot better.
You think part of this is for, like, phones and lower processors, you know, compact processors? You think that's what they're leaning towards with this?
Yeah, it certainly could be. There's some speculation that they may have used this quite a bit in the Chrome OS.
So this sort of thing scales, Jay Lindsay, from little stuff up to big supercomputers you can use this sort of language on.
Yeah, it definitely should.
Yeah, if they've tailored this for, like, optimized it for newer systems, dual core and all that sort of stuff, and you mentioned that there hasn't, it's been more than 10 years since a language has really emerged, then it's got to be fast, doesn't it? It's got to be faster than anything around.
Yeah, that's their plan. That's the hope that they have, that it beats everything out there.
So when would you think you would see something like this in the mainstream? When would we start running programs that are written in this language? It's still a long way off.
Well, yeah, it just depends on how well people like this thing. I mean, Python took off pretty fast, and being open source in general, just it draws hacker types to it, and they start figuring things out and start contributing to the language itself.
Yeah, and each person's going to implement it to a different piece of hardware, probably, and you know they'll add bits here and there, and or take.
So where have you heard about it at school?
No, a couple of the other podcasts I listen to. No, they don't talk about anything smart like this at school. Come on.
Okay.
You know, if it ain't in a book and on a curriculum, you don't hear about this kind of stuff.
And in terms of actually programming, Joe Lindsay, I don't know if you mentioned this, is how is it? Python took off, I take it, because it was an easy language to learn. Is that correct? Or is one of the easier languages? So I don't understand much about this. So how does this compare learning-wise to Python for you to pick this up? If you didn't have any experience in programming, would this be easy to pick up or not?
Well, yeah, it depends on how well you do pick things up, obviously.
But compared to
not
going to
be easy as like Perl or something like that, right? I mean, this is more like C, you said, right?
Yeah, it's definitely like C. There's some syntax differences. It's not really going to be for the beginner, I would think.
Yeah, it's not like human readable text.
So that could hinder its, well, not development, but its uptake a little bit if it's not for everybody to start using, start trying to write stuff in it.
Well, yeah, but a lot of the older guys that did C and stuff like that would probably pick this up easy, I would think.
Yeah, it looks cool. I just wish I understood a hell of a lot more about it, but I just have no use for it.
Well, somebody rewrote Filthy Grunt. That'd be fast.
That's the spirit. I don't know. I think it's going to be good. J-Man, I think that it definitely should make a difference. Especially since it's open source.
All right. Thank you, J-Man. Let's move on to Azimuth.
Oh. I don't know. I'm out here. I'm still smarting from sucking on a hind tit of video and Linux. And, you know, it's easy to go back and blame the people making the cards for not putting out the drivers they should. But they're dropping drivers that actually work. And it's not getting put into a new Xorg, and you know, dropping off the legacy cards. Actually, they're really decent. ATI and NVIDIA cards out there that the hardware actually is quite good, and it's all moved away from it.
Okay, let's get to the base of this. What happened to you?
Yeah, but
which time?
Well, we mentioned this a little bit on Trench last week, that we often say that, yeah, Linux runs well on older hardware, and it does, but what's the point of it running good if you can't take advantage of, like you said, the older hardware that's still good? You know, it's not a very good argument for Linux anymore, is it? When, yeah, sure, install it on this box, it'll run nice, but oh, don't worry, you can't use your 3D... accelerated graphics card that you probably paid about $700 for 3 years ago because that is no longer supported. And that's a little bit sad, isn't it?
Yeah, but are they doing it to the new hardware or the old hardware? I mean, you know, I mean, my point is, if I go to, let's say I go online to eBay or something and I find a older hardware card that's, you know, was a good card then that I can get for $20, and I buy it, and then it don't work? Is that the point of this?
Yeah, but, to a degree, Art, but I've got a, the Radeon, I've mentioned this, Frank, a 9800 Pro, or Ultimate, or whatever bloody was, that, you know, I think I paid around $700 for, I don't know how many years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, maybe longer now, whenever it come out, and that still, today, is, you know, it's not a bad card, but it's it, in a box now because I can't use it on it. It's not worth the trouble of trying to get it to work.
Yeah, the hardware capabilities are still there. It's just that there's no talk to it anymore.
Yeah, I ran that Penumbra with it, and it ran really good. But to get it to run, I had to go and reinstall Zusa 10.3 because I could then go and get the drivers from ATI that I needed that would work with whatever version of Xorg that Zusa 10.3 was using at the time. And yeah, but I couldn't get it to work with 11.1. You know, and who's going to go to all that sort of trouble? Well, I'll tell you now, I'm not, because I couldn't be bothered anymore. So I just pull the card out, throw it away, and I'll buy another one. But
well,
the fact
that,
is,
that's money to burn.
No, but
that's the hardware vendor's plan, is that you discontinue using the card and replace it.
Right. Yeah, but the trouble is, I suppose, and I can go and get Windows 7, put it on that machine, and I bet you I can go and get the ATI drivers and get that card running as good as the day I bought it. And that's the sad thing, isn't it? What does it say for argument that Linux runs on this older hardware? And Jay Lindsay, I know you mentioned that where Linux has moving goalposts all the time, where Windows you didn't have to worry about that because, you know, XP's been around for donkey's years. But it is just a bit sad, as, and I certainly feel for you because I understand.
Yeah, we always go back to that old argument, you know, when cards get so old that they should just release the stuff to us and let us do it.
Well, that would save all the headaches, wouldn't it? If they did that, but as we know, there's probably a lot of code in there they don't want people to see because they've probably borrowed it from somewhere that they shouldn't have, or there's optimization in the code that they don't want other companies to see because then all of a sudden, you know, they might produce a better car. So, I mean, yeah, it's understandable to a degree. What do you do?
Well, I don't know if that's true either, because I was listening to a interview with the guy who is doing the Ganache project, and you know that Flash, the GNOME Flash thing, and he said that they were backwards engineering it, and when they did finally let the code out that he could see it, he said, you know, half the stuff they wrote was better than what Flash used. You know, it was just like, it was stupid.
Well, there is some advantage to writing it from scratch and, you know, black boxing it, where you know what you got to have out and you know what's going in. You can clean it up a whole lot more than what they did as they kept adding on as things progressed.
Yeah, that's what he said, too. He said they guessed at some things, but, you know, it was trial and error on some things, and some things were just cut and dry. They can't do that with the cards? I mean, is it that much harder? I don't know how much harder it is to write the drivers for them.
Well, there is one bright spot. NVIDIA has released a driver update, the X-Server 1.7. So, you know, everybody's kind of working at it, but the developers, you know, they're always, well, the only reason we have things that work in Linux is all because they scratch their own itch, and if they don't happen to itch in the same places we are, it never gets scratched.
Yeah, which I couldn't understand, because like that card Peter was talking about. Now, that's probably still a relatively good-selling card, and you would think that they would want to sell it. I mean, you know, if they let it out, more people would buy it.
Well, I think about the only card in that series that they have now is 9550 in the Radeon. Apparently, it's well supported in Windows, but Xorg has dropped it.
I don't get it. See, and that's the thing, you know, with they're you know, touting games on Linux and stuff like that. Well, if they want to get these people, then they gotta go twist a few arms, I guess, and you know, try to get some more people interested in doing something about it.
Well, I don't know. Just too bad we aren't all rich and can't just replace the hardware to stay up with what they're hoping for.
Well, if one of these card manufacturers just would release an open card with some generic drivers that are open, I mean, I think every Linux user likes to build systems would probably buy one, you know, where you know, anybody can make drivers for it.
Yeah, and they'd tell their friends, too, and that would be, you know, that's what I don't understand why they don't do that. I think they would sell a heck of a lot more equipment that way.
With the 9800 Pro, it came out in about 2003. Like I said, it cost around $800. Now, would you say 6 years is old in computer years? I suppose it is.
Yeah.
You know, the thing works. I want to keep using it.
Absolutely. Why would
you? You know,
for
if it
that
does
kind
everything I wanted it to do, well, why would you throw it away to go and replace it? Just, well, I suppose you have to. You don't have a choice. Jay Lindsay, you said that the legacy drivers have been updated for the older cards we were talking about last week.
Yeah, I pulled those down today and updated Xorg and everything's working now.
Well, so sort of that gives a bit of a reprieve to some people.
But there's always the uncertainty factor that one day, you know, they'll stop updating them.
Yeah, well, they were slow getting the updates out this time, you know, and the next time they outrun it, it's going to be even slower.
Yeah, and it's understandable from a business point of view. You know, you got people that just bought brand new cards, and they need their drivers first.
Well, let's face it, they already have them old cards sold. It's the new cards that keeps them in business.
But we've been...
We've
been saying this for a long time, you know. Intel is almost perfect with their drivers. Like, if Intel brought out a performance card, I would buy it, and I'd be happy.
But now Intel's
can't compete in the performance area.
Yeah, but now Intel's talking about doing a whole thing on their own, ain't they? Aren't they talking about doing a whole computer line?
Yeah, I don't know, but can't you still get... I know you're saying they've sold those cars, they're not interested in writing the drivers and that for it, but can't you still get drivers for all these cars for Windows?
Well, I don't think Windows is advanced enough in that area that they've actually outrun the cards.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know. I'm sure I could go and get drivers for all the old 9200 and all those sort of cards. I could probably get drivers for the GeForce, what was it, 4 or something?
Yeah, that's what we were talking about on Crank. So, you know, you can still go get that executable and install it, and those drivers will work. You know, as long as you didn't switch between 64-bit and all that, that might have a little problem.
Yeah, so that sort of it doesn't bode well for the argument that no, they've already sold you the hardware, so they're not going to write the drivers because they're doing it for Windows, which is where most of the hardware is. So once again, it comes back to Linux being the
Linux is not a priority in general, and then when you have old cards, it's even less of a priority.
Yeah.
Well, but, you know, if you've got an 8-year-old Windows operating system, it's going to encompass a whole lot of legacy equipment, where the Linux versions that we're using nowadays is, well, it's a whole bunch newer than that.
Yeah, and it's that change that we have that's causing the problem, because the Windows binaries, it's always going to work for the most part. Because you still have the same system all the time.
Yeah, it's sad, but unfortunately, the only answer is for them to release it all and let the developers get their hands onto it, and it's not going to happen, is it? ATI released the documentation, didn't they? Probably 12 months ago, a little bit more. What's become of that? Has anything come out of that? Nothing.
Yeah, that has. They're UVDA-based, XVBA, they finally got some FFmpeg stuff working on it, where it'll use the hardware acceleration. You know, it's similar to what NVIDIA's doing with
VDPIU.
But they don't quite have the AMD up to snuff on it. They're kind of playing catch-up there. But it is moving, but they're putting all their resources and getting the newer stuff going, and they're still leaving my old crap behind.
Well, I guess we're just going to have to pick our hardware that we know that works with Linux. You know, like anything NVIDIA, I trust. Intel. I mean, ATI, I would just stay away from.
I've always liked ATI as a problem.
I have, too.
I always thought I used to run ATI card in my MythBox for quite some time, and I always thought the picture quality on it was better than NVIDIA. Although I went to NVIDIA probably about 18 months ago, but like maybe one day I'll go back and just have a look to see.
Well, that was a very nice rant, Azmuth. Let's move on to Pigwall.
Alrighty. on the note of hardware and everything, San Francisco is from Reuters. Intel Corp will pay rival chip maker Advanced Micro Devices Incorporated $1.25 billion to settle all outstanding legal disputes in a move that can hasten the resolution of Intel's antitrust troubles. AMD, whose shares jumped 22%, agreed to withdraw essentially all its regulatory complaints and litigation against Intel, ending a global campaign that has waged on the world's largest chipmaker for 12 years. Some analysts said the deal takes the steam out of a pending U.S. Federal Trade Commission investigation into Intel's business practices, but others said Intel has critics beyond AMD and its regulatory troubles are far from over. Among Intel's adversaries are graphics chip maker NVIDIA Corp and New York Attorney General Andrew Cuomo. I'm assuming that's how you pronounce his name. Intel Chief Executive Paul Otellini denied any wrongdoing by the company, but it decided to settle the dispute with AMD to avoid the risk of a triple damages finding by a jury. Intel got the fact that it was a huge risk of a major risk of a huge settlement in front of a jury, said Broadpoint Amtech analyst Doug Friedman. It removes the coin flip of a jury trial. AMD has argued that Intel used illegal means to preserve its 80% share of the global market for central processing units, which are the brains of personal computers. Regulators in Asia and Europe have agreed, imposing fines and other remedies on Intel. The U.S. Federal Trade Commission is close to filing its own complaint, sources have said. FTC Chairman John Leibowitz said the agency will review the settlement and could not comment further because of its ongoing investigation. Otellini said Intel will meet with the FTC to explain the settlement. Experts have said it is in Intel's interest to resolve its antitrust troubles as quickly as possible so it does not wind up like Microsoft Corporation, which has spent a decade fighting competition agencies around the world.
You got a link, Pegwell, so we can see what you're talking about?
Probably should put that in first, huh? Let me tiny URL that.
It's too late. It's fine.
That is a monster of a link. But I think it's kind of amazing, really, that it's gone on for 12 years, and they're just now going, we should pay.
I tell you what, I wish I'd have bought shares in AMD just before they announced it.
Yeah.
22%. Shit.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it still amazes me that, you know, companies can just go, oh, here's, you know, $1.25 billion. Let's just settle.
Intel should have just bought AMD 12 years ago. It would have been cheaper.
Yeah. I mean,
but I think the competition between them has probably made both brands better.
No. Definitely has.
Yeah, 12 years ago, AMD wasn't that great.
No.
It was a really low-powered, low-cost chip. I mean, the K5
Remember
series.
Remember the Cyrix? The Cyrix? Cyrix? Whatever happened to them?
Yeah, I had one of those. Those were dog slow.
Yeah, I remember I bought Pentium. I think the Pentium 75 came out, and I bought Cyrix 586 something or other, P75. That was supposed to be a Pentium 75 equivalent, but I don't think it was. But then I thought the AMD 400s were 3D now. I think that was the first AMD I bought. I thought I was pretty impressed with them.
I still actually have the first AMD processor I bought.
What, do you have it unboxed on the shelf?
No, I actually have it in my desktop. The processor in the desktop that I got off a friend, apparently it was fried. So I slapped a new one in it, or the one I had, which is the AMD Sempron 3100 Plus, and it works just fine.
Yeah, that's not a bad processor.
No.
That was your first one?
Yeah.
It's only like, what, 3 years old?
Yeah, you gotta remember, he's a babe. So. He hadn't been around this very long.
That's right. Are you 21 yet?
I'm 22.
Old
you
man,
remember
yeah.
with the AMD, was it the K6 that had the 3D now? And you used to be able to get...
I think it was.
If you ran,
I believe so.
Was it Doom or Quake? It was one of those games, and if you had the patch and it used 3D now, the 3D now instruction set that was built into this chip, all I remember is your frames per second went from about 30 to about 90. Frames per second, and it was just like magic. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. That was
yeah, you needed a K6 II to get 3D now.
Yeah, and that was about the 400. But the 3D now was only ever really good on a couple of things that that you had to usually patch. There wasn't a hell of a lot written for it. Not like the, what was the Intel one at the time? Not SSD. It was before that, wasn't it?
MMX?
MMX, that's right. Multimedia Extra. Yeah. A lot of applications supported that, but the 3D now wasn't as well supported. I always thought AMD was a good chip. Maybe it's just the underdog thing.
We're a lot cheaper.
Well, they started out that way.
Well, you get a lot more for your money with AMD.
Yeah, bang for buck. Yeah, for sure. I always thought they were a better desktop, but not so much laptop. Because they used to generate more heat than the Intel variants, didn't they?
The laptop I had that recently died, it had an AMD chip in it. Worked really nice, actually.
Do you let the mouse piss on it?
No mouse pissed on it.
And remember the old Celeron? I think there was a K62, but then was it the Celeron 300A that came out not long after it that you could overclock to 466 or something?
Yeah, I remember that.
When is this? I can't even think when it would be going back to. Mid-90s? When all this was happening?
Yeah, good. Yeah, it was in the mid-90s because I had I think it was a K62 450 that I overclocked to like almost 600 megahertz, and that lasted for about a month.
I was going to say that.
Till it self-destructed.
It ran really nice.
Meltdown.
I remember, I don't know if they do it anymore, but they used to use the, to cool them down, they used to, what's that bloody shit that's like freezing cold? I can't even think.
Cryogen.
Yeah, that's it. People on the internet used to build all this stuff and pour that in it, overclock them to like almost 1 gig.
Oh, Peter, you should see the one rig they got down to this place called Micro Center that I go to. It looks like a plumbing factory. They got pumps on the back of this thing. Holy shit. I mean, they got like 3/4-inch tube running through this computer. Unbelievable. Damn. Unbelievable this thing is.
It wouldn't bother overclocking a CPU anymore, would you?
They're still doing it.
Do they still do it?
Hell yeah.
There's always going to be people doing that.
Yeah, just for fun. Like, back in the old days, you used to have to do it to try to get 30 frames per second out of a modern game.
People do crazy things like submerge the whole computer in oil and stuff.
Yeah.
Unreal.
I like the art turned kind of redneck on that one.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, what's more common now? They'll scale the darn processor, and they're running most of them at half clock speed. You know, unless they actually need it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. As most of mine are running, you're trying to run them at 1,000 megahertz instead of 2.6 or whatever, just so they're running cool and quiet. How slow you can get them to run these days is more important, at least to me.
Well, they're going to last longer, too.
Yeah, and the slower you run them, the less your power supply works, and, you know, less electric you're using and all that.
Quieter. More just noise factor. I'd much prefer a quiet PC these days than a super fast one, because all of them these days are faster most of the time than I ever need.
Yeah, no matter how much you overclock it, you can never get a 10-second boot like my Triple E.
Is that what you're getting out of it now, 10 seconds?
10 seconds.
What are you running on that monster boot?
Right now it's got the Ubuntu Remix, Netbook Remix.
How do you like that? How do you like that? I put that on mine, too.
I like it.
I think it's pretty neat. It's easy. It's easy to eat around in it, which is nice. And I just took things that I use a lot, and I just put them in my favorites. You know, so when a thing starts up, your favorites is right there, and you just click and go.
Well, before that, I'm still running Debian Lenny on it. I'm dual booting between the two with the Ubuntu Remix. But I did install Moblin. I ran that for just a couple days. I really liked the interface. I don't know if you tried it or not.
No, I didn't. I couldn't get it to go on mine. I don't think I think I had a bad image.
I really liked the interface, but my Wi-Fi just kept dropping out, and I could not figure out a way to change it.
Oh, you mean with when every time you fired it up, or just as you were using it?
When I would use it, when I did get connected, it would always drop on me. Like every 2 minutes, it would drop and then try to reconnect. Well, on the second day I used it, I couldn't even connect. So I'm like, what the heck? So I rebooted into Debian Lenny on the same EEE, and it connected right away.
You have the 1000, right?
Yeah.
That's the one with the regular hard drive in it?
No, it's got a solid-state drive. It's got two solid-state drives. It's got an 8 gig and a 32 gig.
Oh, okay.
Wants to be, you and Clatter were having a chat in the IC about Maybelline, and you both couldn't find a shutdown button or something?
Yeah. There's no, like, shutdown or logout button, but I figured it out. You just hit the power button, the actual power button on your EEE.
Yeah.
And it fires up a little menu that you can shut it down, reboot or shut down.
Okay.
It actually does on all of them. I never noticed that before until...
Yeah, that goes right on back to the original Zandros thing.
Yeah.
I think it's just the layout of the EEE. I really do. Because I've tried it on everything I've ran on it, and it all does it.
But back to that 10-second boot. Well, what does it? It's called Boot Booster. It's a BIOS option. You can, you know, reboot your EEE, hit F2, and go into your BIOS. And you can check underneath the boot tab if you have this option. And what it does, it caches, you know, your BIOS information into a partition on your boot drive, and it skips a bunch of extra steps. So what it actually does, when you power it on, it actually skips all your BIOS boot up and goes right to Grub. So as soon as you hit the power button, you see Grub.
Oh, that's neat. Yeah, because I don't have mine's not dual booting right now. I just have the Netbook Remix on it, and mine takes, like, I think 24 seconds to start up from powered on to, you know, usable.
Yeah, and all you do is you like I said, you know, you just go in there and check to make sure you have this boot booster, turn it off, and then what you want to do is create a partition. You see, you need to create an EFI partition at the beginning or the end of a boot drive. It needs to be like 8 to 16 megabytes in size, and the file system type has to be EF, which is a FAT partition. You know, if this is not like a fresh install, because I did a fresh install, so this was easy to create another partition, but if you already have something installed, like you are, you already have something installed, you can, you know, use something like Gparted or another live distro, and then go in there and resize your main root partition, and then create that small 8 to 16 megabyte partition.
I think I left that on there. I think I have that on there from the Zandros, I think. I think they had that on the bigger solid-state drive, and when I went in and changed my stuff around, I left a small drive, I left a small partition on there that is somewhere around that size, I believe, that I can probably just use that.
And you only have one drive in your EEE?
No, I have the 4 and the 16.
Okay, because it has to be on the same drive that you're using.
For your root partition, right?
Yeah, like you're using the 16 gig right now?
No, I have my root partition on the 4 gig, and my home is on the 16.
Okay. And then that little partition, the EFI partition, is on the 4 gig.
I think there is a little 8 or 7 meg partition I left there.
Okay. The only thing you would have to do is just go into your BIOS and then turn this on. Turn on Boot Booster, enable it, and then save and then reboot, and it should work on your next startup.
Reboot, yeah. All right. I'll have to go in and make sure I have that on there. If not, then I'll run something off a USB stick, and like you said, I'll just use Gparted or something and make it.
Now, when you power yours on right now, you see like the Asus splash screen?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's not working right now because you won't even see that.
I see the Asus splash screen, and I see like a few lines of text come up, and then it's gone, and then it goes to the Ubuntu screen. And you get the revolving, you know, Star Trek-looking thing there.
Yeah, so once you do that, enable it, then really the only thing you have to do is tweak your OS a little bit. Like in Ubuntu, turn off, you know, a bunch of services you don't need, and you probably already have an auto-login.
Yeah, I have it on auto-login, yeah.
Yeah, you probably just need to turn off, because out of the box, Ubuntu has like so many services running you don't need. You could probably go in there and turn off 5, 6 different things and shave off you know, 8 to 10 seconds.
More time. Yeah, yeah. I'll have to try that. I'll monkey around with it and see.
And if you ever have if you ever have a problem, you know, where your computer won't boot.
Yeah.
You know, say it skips the BIOS and goes right to Ubuntu and it craps out on you. Just reboot it and hold down the F2 and go back into the BIOS and shut it off. Reboot and then do it again. It should overwrite, you know, the cache.
Right.
You know, if that gets corrupted.
Right, right. Yeah. I tell you what, I mean, the one I got is I have the 900, which is the, you know, the 900 megahertz processor. And I put 2 gigs in it of RAM. And I'd like to get a bigger battery for it, but I'm really, really surprised with the way it's held up. I mean, I use the thing constantly. I mean, I have it sit down by the table when I get up and have coffee in the morning and sit there, and I'll just flip the lid open and hit the key, and I mean, I leave it in suspend. And, you know, I mean, of course, it pops right up. And then when I, like, if I go off to classes, I have class, like, let's say I have class in the morning, I have it set for when I unplug it, it goes into suspend on battery power, and I'll just take it in with me to school, and when I get to school, I usually get there early, I just flip the thing open, tap the space bar, and it pops right up, and I use it for half an hour before school, then I'll close the lid, still in suspend, and I mean, I go through all that, take class, sometimes I'll use it during class, and come home, and it's still... I still have 70% battery. I mean, it's really pretty surprising, the little thing. I'd like to get another one, really.
Yeah, I had to. Well, I didn't have to. I flashed the BIOS a couple of days ago. It was
your 1000.
Yeah, it was so simple. I mean, all you do is you download the, you know, you go to the Acer site. I mean, Asus site. I don't have the link handy. You know, download for your machine. You know, to say 1000 like mine.
Right.
And you just rename, it's a .ROM, it'll say like 1000 with something after it. What you do is you rename it 1000.ROM, format a USB stick to FAT16, it has to be FAT16, and all you need is probably like, it could be an old USB stick, it could be like one that's only 32 megabytes. Just copy it over to it, plug it into your TripWii, power up, and you hit Alt F2, and it would automatically... go into the menu for the BIOS update.
Really?
And all you do is, you know, hit yes, update BIOS. It'll beep. You're going to say it's done. And it'll say power down. And that's it.
Sweet.
That's all there is to it.
That's nice. Did it make any difference on yours?
Yeah, what it did was, I didn't even know it until I stumbled across the website. It said that at 94% of a battery charge, it would show that it was like a full charge. It would just stop. So I was losing 6%.
Right, right.
Of a full charge. So yeah, this fixed it up, and I probably get 15-20 more minutes out of it.
Well, that's not. Well, you get what, 9 hours out of yours anyway, don't you?
You know, the specs say I get like I should get 6.5, but I've got like 8 hours out of it before.
Is that with the lid open, using it with the screen?
Like 6.5 hours, I would say, is like normal. That's what I average. You know, that's a combination of, you know, adjusting the screen brightness, Wi-Fi.
Right, right, right.
Stuff like that. But if I turn the Wi-Fi off, maybe dim the screen, and just read like an e-book, I mean, I could get 8 hours out of it. I mean, there was one week I was only using it for a couple hours a night, reading an e-book, and I mean, I didn't even have to charge it all week.
Yeah, that's sweet. That's really sweet. I actually found a Dell, a 14-inch Dell laptop in Best Buy, with a 9, I think it's a 9-cell battery. They're saying it'll go 9.8 hours on a regular 14-inch laptop. With a
damn.
Yeah, yeah. But the battery is like, if I looked on the Dell website, the battery alone is like $125.
Jesus,
just for the battery.
Christ.
Yeah. Yep. So I don't know. I mean, the laptop isn't cheap. It's $699 or $749. But, you know, you get a DVD drive in it, and I don't know. It's a real, and it only weighs 3.7 pounds. I mean, it's thin. It's a sweet machine. It's either that or I'm going to go with the Toshiba, though, that Toshiba netbook, which is, you know, they're talking about 8 hours plus out of that. I don't know. They're coming a long way with them. Speaking of machines, I think it's my turn for a story, isn't it?
You just bloody had it. You told them about your laptop.
Yeah, I thought that was your story.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I have another one.
I just want to put this link in here because
Short memory.
That's what happens. You know when you get old, old man.
I wouldn't know about that.
Yeah. Just check that out. This has got to be the coolest little thing I've seen in a while. I mean, you talk about Peter. I think you would really like this.
Well, of course, it's pink.
No, well, scroll down. Well, yeah, you'd like it because it was pink too. But I'm sure it won't put water on for you. But
well, what is it?
It's a PC. Yeah. It's a multimedia PC, but it's only 7 by 7 by 3 inches.
Who makes it?
Dell.
This is your story, man. I'm just trying to get some
information.
Yeah.
What gave that away? The big Dell written on
the
top of it, or what?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I was looking at the pink, maybe the Inspiron in the front, but this thing is it's like a multimedia. I could see this would be perfect for Fire TV, for Myth. I mean, this thing it's got, it's low power. It's got you can have 1.6 or 1.8. You can get it with Linux on it. I mean, of course, you get it with the other ones, but they're even telling you can get it with Linux on there, and you can have up to a 1 terabyte hard drive in this thing. 8 gig of RAM you can put in this thing. You can have extra a card. You can put a see now you go here you go.
You can put a video card in. Yeah.
I mean, it has ATI in it, but you can get an ATI card in it, and it's doing HD. And if you scroll down, Peter, you see the nice, pretty colors that's available in.
I'm loving the pink. I don't want the other colors.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
Yeah, so this is plenty powerful. Well, the only thing is, it's got the built-in integrated ATI card. It suggests here that you can add a discrete graphics card. That's optional, so I take it there must be a PCI Express slot in it or something.
Yeah, I would imagine.
So.
Right?
Yeah, so you can obviously plug an NVIDIA card into it and use VDPAU.
Yep.
And you've got plenty of horsepower to run. This is nice.
HDMI port on it.
Yep.
It's got 2 SATA connectors, too. I mean, they say it starts at $230. That's the base model with the ATI graphics. With the Athlon 2650E processor, 2 gig of RAM.
Built-in wireless?
Built-in wireless, yep.
Yep. 65 watts with integrated graphics, 75 watts with the discrete graphic card.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a nice little system. Okay, but how about the price?
$230 it starts at.
Yeah, to $1,024 depending on configuration. That's a big difference.
Yeah, but look, if you scroll down, it says with the Windows, if you put Windows on it, it's going to be more.
Yeah, but it's not going to jump from 230 to 1,000 just because of Windows.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you're talking about the drives. I mean, look at the options. You can put anywhere from a 160-gig drive into it to a 1 terabyte. Two gig to 8 gig of RAM, that's $200 right there.
That's true. Yep.
You know, but I mean,
definitely worth looking at.
Oh, right out of the box, though. I mean, this thing would be sharp. It's got a 6-in-5 or 6-in-1 card reader, you know, for your camera cards. And I think you know, this thing would be really the cat's ass sitting next to your TV.
Yeah, it wouldn't look out of place. Well, the pink one would.
No.
But the black one would look pretty nice.
Like a little Xbox, don't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the size of an Xbox.
It'd make a nice little Myth TV box, too.
Well, that's what I mean, yeah.
Well, that's what we've been talking about each last 10 minutes.
Did he just wake up or what?
Must have done.
Holy
I kinda
shit.
I spaced out, I'm not going to lie. I was reading everything else.
Jesus.
Then I was thinking everything I would do if I had this thing, I want it.
Yeah, I must admit, lately, I just put a 4,200, I think, in my Myth box in the lounge room. And to be totally honest with you, I'm not happy with it because it's too noisy. It runs too hot. I know Az and I were discussing this a lot in the IRC. Fans all speed up. They go that. I thought my water pump was running under there. I kept saying to my wife, there's a tap running somewhere. The pump's running. And she said, that's your computer. I thought, no. I've got to look at doing something. Honestly, I'm sorry.
This would be nice, like, you know, if you have a say you got a 32-inch screen mounted on the wall, and, you know, you don't have a big entertainment center. This would be nice on a little shelf. You know, this thing is sharp.
Well, this would be nice anywhere, I think.
Yeah, but, well, yeah, but...
Yeah, as long as it's quiet. Yeah. Like, I'm really not happy.
It's missing is the remote, which you'd have to get one of them
Just any.
Right?
Yeah, one just of any off eBay for $5. Yeah. Like you do, plug in a USB port.
Yeah.
Good find. I might look into this. Yeah. Dana's coming soon.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, I found the specs for the ones that start at $229.
Yeah.
It comes with the Athlon 1.6 gigahertz, 8X DVD, 2 gigs of RAM, 250 gig hard drive, ATI Radeon HD 3200, and with the Intel high definition audio. So that's not too bad.
That should work pretty damn good, though, shouldn't it?
Well, the only problem I see with this is I have almost 2 terabits in my MIF box. So
but you don't have to. I mean, this would be nice. You can stream off another PC, though, right?
Yeah, but then it defeats the purpose of making this a back end. It might as well be a front end, and then you wouldn't need all half this stuff. You could get away with a hell of a lot less machine.
Well, couldn't you take your drive out and put it in this one?
Yeah probably. Okay.
But this takes 1 terabit. I've got 3 drives in mine at the moment. I've got a 1 terabit, I think it's a 380 and a 420 or something like that.
Yeah, but
so
Peter,
it's not
quite 2 terabits. This has got like 4 USB ports. You can put a little enclosure for your drive.
Yeah, but see, once again, you're starting to defeat the purpose of having the small form factor.
Well, that's I guess this isn't for you then, Peter.
Yeah, forget it, Peter.
Now
forget.
I'm not happy.
That's it. Now you're done. Jesus Christ. Trying to do a nice thing for you, Peter. Get you a nice...
I'm still pretty interested in that, actually. Like, I could live with 1 terabit drive. I would just move all the movies...
I would hope so.
...onto my... I could live with that.
Christ,
now,
I don't have one... I got 5 computers that don't equal 1 terabyte.
Monster B, what are we going to get for the extra $800? Have you got the top-rated one?
Let's see. You know what? They're including like a 20-inch widescreen high-definition monitor and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that explains it.
8 gigs of RAM, 1 terabyte drive. There's a configurator. You can just go on there and start picking stuff. And they're like different colors, so you have to add $30.
Oh, Peter.
Yeah, that's right. When I went by my studio and we were going to buy my wife one as well, and she wanted the hot pink one, it was more expensive than the jet black one I bought.
And you can up the processor to a dual core.
Yeah, it's really configurable. I got to say, it's quite a little unit. I mean,
I'm interested in the cheap one.
Well, I'd be interested if you can opt for some NVIDIA card. Because I must admit, VDPAU at the moment, I'm quite impressed with.
There's only one card available.
And that's that Ati Radeon HD 4330.
Yep, with 512 megabytes of RAM.
That card has as much RAM on it as I do in my desktop. It makes me kind of sad now.
Well, there's 2 cards here, HD 3200 and a HD 440, right?
Well, the 32 is built in, and the 433 is the discrete.
No, the 440. The 440.
Right.
Whatever, Art.
Yeah, it doesn't make a rats. Peter don't want one anyway, so...
Well,
wants
I
to
do.
Be...
But one thing I found about that VDPAU is because your processor is working, hardly any work anymore, your computer runs cooler and it runs quieter.
You're getting to sound like Pat, you know that?
Yeah, but really, since I put this new... Well, it's not a new chip, but it's new to the MIF box. Sound all of a sudden has become an issue, and I'm not happy. I'm almost tempted to go back to the 3500 for a while, or buy something like this.
Well, like I said, this just seemed to be a pretty neat little, and I liked it because they advertised the fact you can get Linux on it, and which has got to be cheaper than the Windows version.
And how are you going to put 3 bloody DVB cards?
You can put. Oh, also you can get Blu-ray in this thing, too.
Yeah, that's a $100 option.
Yeah.
Blu-ray.
Well, that was $600 when I bought my laptop.
There you go.
$600 option.
Half price, buddy. Half price.
1/6 the price.
Yeah. I think it's a nice little, you know, low power unit. I mean, hey, it's worth a look.
Maybe for front end. Now, it's no good for a back end because you'd have to use USB tuners and stuff on them. And all of a sudden, you start having wires hanging off, and I hate wires.
I know. That sucks, don't it? Wires. Jeez.
Well, not in your lounge room. It's untidy in the entertainment system, I'm afraid.
So you got to do like them other guys do. You wrap them in that wire loom that you use in the cars. You know,
yeah, well, my mother does. She plaits them. She gets them plaits them all together.
She does what?
Bad by the time she plaits them. You know, like ladies plait hair.
No.
That's what my mother does. You must know what plaits are.
No.
Okay.
If we did, we wouldn't be asking.
You've obviously never, ever gone deep. Sea fishing, game fishing, because you have to flat your fishing line to make a double. Jeez, do I have to tease everything?
We don't.
I would assume the word would be braid.
Oh, that's what I think, but I'm just trying to let him keep going with this, you know.
At least Stas knows what I'm talking about.
Well, of course, because he's from the other side of the world too. You can't braid your lines, though, Peter. You can't braid your power line with your Cat 5, or you get cross, you know, you get interference.
Cross talk, or whatever they call it.
Yeah. You gotta keep that in mind unless you're using shielded, then you can do that, but if you don't have the shielded wire, then you gotta keep it away from your power wire.
Yeah, well, don't tell me, Mom, that don't worry her.
Oh, well, you know, she didn't worry about speed anyway, does she?
Nah.
So you come over and go, damn, this thing's slow. Didn't they get new computers, your mom and dad?
No, mom's got it. Actually, she got the 7-inch EEE, and the screen's packed it in. It's got about the size of a thumbnail. It's gone dead on it.
Oh, you should buy her a new one for Christmas, then.
Well, actually, me and my sisters have been talking about that.
You should get her one of them 1000s.
Like, well, actually, that's what I've been looking at.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just grabbing one of them.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
We bought a 15-inch compact. Might get mum something similar, but a bit smaller.
Yeah. Well, it'd be nice with that 1000, is it's not, it's cheaper to ship, right? Because it's smaller and lighter.
Yeah.
And yet it's,
yeah,
you know.
Well, she likes that. I always thought she'd find the 7 too small, but she seems to like it.
Oh, she's going to think this is like a 21-inch screen, then. She gets that 1000. Holy crap.
A lot of women like the 7-inch.
I think they like the 10.1 better.
Well, the 7-inch fits in their purse easy.
Yeah. Just like a banana.
Well, they can tote it around. Take it to the grocery store. It's great for recipes.
Yeah.
Pull it out whenever they want. Pick it back in. When they finish with it.
Yeah, easy to hold on to, too.
I give Judah 4 every other night.
Do you have an N-800?
Yeah, she complains it's too thick. But I say, what can I do?
Something kind of tacky.
Just tell her you're unfolded next time.
Well, you guys hold on to your bash commands until next week, because we are out of time. So, thanks for listening, everyone, and see you guys next time.
Take care, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Another tit is in the can.
In the bag.
Android rocks.
Another tit in the udder.
Another tit's in the ringer, huh?
That's it, in the sack.
Time now for bloopers. So stupid.
Tip Radio episode 13 starts now.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Back in action.
Okay, first off, first of all, hi guys. So, Super Cap.
That's the one I was looking for.
Hi guys. So, Super Cow Power didn't let me say moo.
That's all I got.
What the hell was
what? Oh no.
How in the hell am I supposed to talk now? I gotta wipe the tears. Oh, that was Deep Geek.
One of them.
Okay.
Peter.
That was a good beginning.
Yes, it was.
Hello and welcome to Hacker Public Radio. You know what? I'm going to cut this out and put it at the end for bloopers.
There you go.
Okay, one more time. Let's do it.
Welcome, welcome, one and all.
Me, me, me. Okay.
Me, me, me.
Do, re, mi, fa, so, la, ti, do.
Oh, God.
All right. Hello and welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
All right, come on. Hello and welcome to Hacker Public Radio. It's all right.
Okay, great show, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, man. Like we're 16-year-old girls.
Thank you for listening to Hacker Public Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net. So head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.